This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
It's been a while since I started an episode with a good old fashioned USA chant. So I'm just going to go USA, USA, USA. Come on, USA. And yeah, you guys keep going. I think it'd be cool if you did that in the car with your family, whether you were driving down the road by yourself, whether you're at the gym and you're wearing your headphones and you just start ripping the USA chant. Nothing gets me more fired up than a good old fashioned USA chant. So hopefully that brought a little happiness to your day. I get every time there's a USA chant at a sporting event, I participate, whether that really anytime. A USA chant breaks out, whether I am responsible for starting it or somebody else is responsible for starting it, I participate. So shout out to, I would love to go back in time. If I had one trip back in time, I would go to the first time the USA chant was ever started. I wonder where that was at. The first guy to go, what, you know what? USA. And he started saying it louder and louder, and it fired up a whole group of people. What we really have to think about, was that pre or post 1900? Do you think some guy, you know, like when the Declaration of Independence came out, some dude was just like at some rally somewhere, just like USA, USA. Dude, I wish I could go and meet that guy, maybe interview him on the podcast. Maybe it was something that didn't happen until the 70s, right? Some dude got home from work and he was hanging with his buddies and they all had too many beers and they're just like, you know what? USA. And they started the USA chant. I don't know. Shout out people who respect the USA chant. All right. This is the Nine Figure Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And if this is your very first episode you've ever listened to, well, you're missing out because I've done over 1,000 of these. So go check out zero episode 1 through 1,000 and then come back here as well. You got a lot of catching up to do. Today we are going to do a little bit of a BS session with myself. I got some stuff I want to talk about here. And then we're going to get into another portion of this is I'm going to challenge you to try something different this year or to do something while you're in the tree stand, right? And I think every once in a while, if we challenge ourselves to do something outside of our normal box, it gives us a little insight about how good or bad we potentially are at a certain thing, whether that is parenting or marriage or fitness or even deer hunting, right? Doing something that maybe you're uncomfortable with will make you better at being a deer hunter, right? And so I have a handful of things here, three as of right now. Most of the time, as I get into these, things will pop into my head and I'll go off on little tangents, but I'm ready to go. So before we do that though, baseball season is officially over. My boy was done last week, this past weekend. My youngest boy, I coach his team. He is done. And I'm going to tell you this. Usually at the end of baseball season, I'm a little bit like, aw, you know, like bummer. This year, dude, I needed a break. I don't know what it is. Like, and I don't know if any parents are ever going to listen to this. I mean this with all due respect. And I'm talking about my own kid. This was the hardest group of kids I have ever had to coach. They were challenging from a behavior standpoint, from a listening. I've never met a group of 8 and 9 year olds who thought that they knew more than the coaching staff than this group of kids did. and how they were never wrong and how they already knew how to do everything and they didn't need to fix their form or work on their throwing or their batting or their fielding. And so there, I'm just looking back at some of the interactions I had with some of these kids, and I told them to change something or do something or work on this, and they looked at me like I was the problem. Like, you don't know anything, sit back and watch how it's done. And then when they failed or they strike out, they would just bawl. And they would carry that crying into from striking out into fielding, and they would make an error. And so basically the only thing I really coached was, hey, you're going to make a mistake. It's okay to make mistakes. We get better. We move on. We forget about it. Baseball's a game of failure, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm just really glad that I needed a break, that I'm getting a break now from youth sports for a handful of, as far as coaching is concerned, like for a handful of months now. So there's that. And it was hot as balls this weekend too. So that did not help. And man, just America. I don't know. America. It's fun. I don't know. Like I've mentioned in previous episodes, I'm just trying to spend as much time with my kids, while they're young as humanly possible. The crazy thing is my daughter has turned 13, and I am in the process of understanding that she only has like 4 more years in this house before she goes to college, which blows my mind, right? High school, 1 year, like she's going into 8th grade and 4 years of high school and adios, right? And she's not the kind that, she's not a dirt bag like I was, where all of a sudden she's going to move back in home for a handful of years. She's going to go and get it. I just have my gut feeling says she's going to go and get it. So I'm going to try to spend as much time with her and all of my kids and my family as much as possible in these times. We got a wrestling tournament coming up in Missouri that we're going to travel to. And then we're going to probably try to go fishing. We're going to try to do a whole bunch. Here's the crazy thing. This is crazy. I haven't thrown a fishing lure since last summer. Believe that. I haven't thrown a fishing lure since last summer. I don't think I'm going to coach football this year, which means that I'm probably going to just do a ton of hunting or try to do a ton of hunting and fishing with my older boy. Cause he's not going to play football. My younger boy changed his mind now and he wants to play football this year. And so, there's like this small little window where nothing's going to happen. And we're going to try to fit an entire summer worth of activities into this small window, and we're going to get along just fine by putting all that pressure, all the family happiness pressure in that 2-week period. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. All right, sip of water here. All right, I'm going to do some commercials here, and then we're going to get into this conversation that I have planned today. Just me and you, and we're going to talk it out. I'm going to talk it out. You're going to listen it out, whatever. If you're looking for some of the best optics on the market, whether that's a red dot, a rifle scope, a range finder, binocular spotting scope, there's only one place really to visit, and that's vortexoptics.com. And we have a ton of, just a ton of support. You have a question, you can reach out to their customer service helpline. They have the VIP warranty, meaning you break it, you send it back into them and they're going to fix it for you, free of charge, right? It's that time of year where now that baseball's over, I think tonight actually is going to be a good night. A cold front came through. Right now it's 75 degrees out at 2:00 in the afternoon. Yesterday it was 96. Now it's 75 with zero humidity. And so, I'm taking the trail cameras out. I'm getting the trail cameras out this week. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that here in a second, but, looking for those velvet bucks, spotting scope, binoculars, go check out vortexoptics.com. Vapor Trail Aero Rest. Before I forget, discount code NFC26 NFC26, and that's going to get you 15% off of the one of the best aero rests on the market, period. Right? Like I wish you guys could see. You guys would think I'm handicapped the way I walk through the woods and the prairies looking for mule deer and hunting. Just like I drag my bow like I'm some Neanderthal. So that's a very long way of saying I abuse my gear. And the cool thing about Vapor Trail is you can beat the shit out of it and it stays on your bow and it stays tuned. And you don't got to worry about it. Limb-driven arrow rest. Go check out VaporTrailArchery.com. Code Blue Sense. Dude, this week I'm going to be finally going to be putting up my mock scrapes. I'm taking a weed eater with me. I'm going to really get down into it. I'm cutting branches out of the way, hanging trail cameras, freshen up the mock scrapes that I do have. I'm going to be doing some planting, whatever you want to say, creating some new mock scrapes in the area as well, probably within some shooting lanes. And so I'm really hoping that I'm going to be able to create a environment where deer are coming, they're slowing down, they're stopping, even if it's just to smell the rope. That's all I want. Right? Getting a deer to slow down and stop or cruise out of its way to make that happen. So, scent elimination products. They have real and synthetic deer urines, the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit. Go check out codebluescents.com. Discount code NFC20 for 20% off. Next on the list is Ozonix. Ozonix is a machine that generates O3. O3 kills bacteria. O3 is ozone. It kills bacteria. Bacteria is what makes things smell like your stink. Like if you burp and your burps smell like beef burgers or whatever the case is, that's an odor. That's bacteria. So O3, what it does is it attaches to that. It breaks it down. It discombobulates it. And then it shoots it back out and it doesn't make it smell like it doesn't smell like whatever you thought it was. So long story short, an ozone generator, an Ozonix, distorts your scent profile. And when a deer smells it, they don't smell a human. They smell something different, right? It's not nothing. It's something different. So what I would do is learn more about Ozonix units by going to ozonixhunting.com. All right. Next on the list, death metal plays in the background. I start talking about wasp archery. I get fired up. Slow-mo to an arrow just crushing a giant whitetail buck. It has a massive, gruesome blood trail. And then like Dave Mustang from Megadeth maybe appears in a cloud of smoke doing one of the hardest guitar solos there is. And end scene, and that is my dream wasp archery commercial. So think about that. They have mechanicals. They have fixed blades of all different sizes. Go check out wasparchery.com. Discount code NFC20 for 20% off. Next on the list is Reveal trail cameras. The 4.0 is out. Go check it out. It's badass. Thursday of this week, I'm going to be doing some stories on Instagram of me setting it up and setting it out and maybe talking a little bit about some of the new features on it. So stay tuned for that. I'm really looking forward to messing around with that, checking out how it compares to the 3.0 Pro and the 3.0X and some of the previous versions. But dude, it, just on paper, it's a badass trail camera with battery life that is going to last a lot longer than what you're used to. So, tacticam.com/cameras. Okie dokie. It is time to talk about three things that I want to challenge you as the hunter to maybe try or do this upcoming season. Now, I know there's a group of you out there who are probably like, hey, Dan, I ain't changing shit. I'm not going to do any of that. And I'm going to say, okay, well, sorry I bothered you. Get back to work. Whatever, you know, maybe you were folding some laundry. I apologize for wasting your time today. Maybe you're at work I don't know. But here's a couple things that I think you should consider changing up or learning or really focusing on this upcoming season. And the reason for some, well, I'm not going to say the reason right now. I'm going to get to the reason here in a little bit. When did I, Dan Johnson, start learning and understanding and getting closer to big bucks? It is when I started understanding how deer moved through the farms that I hunt from a terrain perspective. And here's the buzzword, thermals. Obviously, in previous episodes recently, you've heard me talk about access routes. But all of that really depends on some thermals. Okay. Why thermals? When you're sitting in your tree stand, and I'm going 101. I'm going to go 101, thermals 101 right now. If it's sunny outside, thermals and warmer, thermals are going to go up. Your scent profile will go up. When it's cold, when there's shade, or it's cloudy, overcast, your thermals are going to pull down to the lowest part of the terrain, meaning that a deer that gets down, not necessarily downwind, but down terrain from you could possibly smell you. These thermals are really exaggerated in the mountains, where sometimes thermals will trump wind direction. For most of you whitetail hunters, that's not necessarily the case. But one thing that I want to challenge you, whether you have 20 acres to hunt or whether you have 1,000 acres to hunt, whenever you're in your tree stand, I'm challenging you to understand what the thermals are doing in that specific location, in that specific tree that you're in or blind that you're in. And one way to do this is to take a whole bunch of dry leaves, stuff them in your pockets. Some people do it with cotton balls or milkweed, or milkweed is really good because it's so light. It just floats in the air. And one thing that you can do is I've done this way before. I've heard of guys putting smoke bombs in trees. Well, I'm not going to do that because I don't have the time to get out there and do science experiments in the tree. I'm going to do some of this stuff while I'm hunting. So I like to take a big handful of leaves, put them in my pockets, crunch them up to almost powder, climb up in the tree. And when the sun starts to come up or it gets lighter in the morning or in the afternoon, you take a handful of that stuff up and you just rub it like Mr. Miyagi in your hands, and you will see it create this cloud of dust, essentially. And it will probably go with the wind direction. If it's a heavy wind direction is going to trump, wind direction is going to trump the thermals. However, if wind is light, thermals might impact how the deer move through the terrain. And so this has a lot to do with deer movement, and what you may observe as an inconsistency coming in and out of a particular bedding area, or how a deer comes off a ridge and crosses a creek into a destination food source, or how they're side-hilling mountains in, side-hilling terrain in the bigger mountains of like Virginia, or, you know, the Appalachian Mountains, or the big woods, so to speak. And I bet if you sat there long enough and you watched deer long enough, you went to that same stand every single time, deer would make adjustments on whether or not it's sunny and the thermals are going up, and where that, some people call it the military crest, but there's levels there where a deer is hitting pulling thermals and rising thermals matched with the correct wind direction. They're using their nose as basically a radar system of what is in the area and trying to walk through terrain to get the most scent into their nose. Now, there's ways you can beat that, obviously, but in this is more of a strategy conversation at this point, because I want you to observe that on a cloudy day, observe it on a sunny day, deer movement on a sunny day, see if there is any difference, if there's a different trail. Are they higher on the ridge? Are they lower on the ridge? Do they cross the creek at a different point? Maybe it's one of those days where there's big fluffy clouds in the sky and it goes from cool to warm in a matter of minutes, and then how they make their adjustments on how they move based on that, right? A deer can be walking down a trail. The thermals could switch if that's a big enough cloud and start pulling down. Maybe they pop down for a little bit. Maybe they pop up. So, and the reason I want you to really observe and challenge yourself on something like this is because maybe you need two different tree stands in a really good spot. Maybe you need a sunny day. Maybe a lot of people talk about only setting up stands for wind directions. But I almost think, especially if the smaller the property, you might need two tree stands on a same ridge, one for a sunny day and one for a cloudy day. And how those thermals are pulling on a morning versus an afternoon. And it's almost like you have to look at it as a dartboard, and the center is your tree stand. And how are they coming in and out of that dartboard? Are they just going up top real quick, or the bottom real quick? Are they coming right through the bullseye? And you lay that down on the terrain and you just observe what those thermals are doing, and you say, okay, cloudy day, I need to be lower to the bottom because deer are probably going to be lower in the terrain trying to catch the dropping thermals, as opposed to a nice sunny day and how the deer are higher on the terrain because that sunlight is warming the ground. It's pulling everything up. Now, I gotta say that if you're hunting an afternoon hunt, right, and the sun starts to come down and the opposite side of the ridge starts to cool down in the shade, well, those thermals are going to start pulling down. Is your tree stand above that? Is it below that? So these are all things that I would challenge you guys to do, is to get ultra technical with your thermals, observe, take notes. A lot of these mapping tools like Onyx allow you to take notes on certain stand locations, you know, put information in on the pins. Ozonix isn't the only one, you know, a lot of other digital mapping allows you to do that, but put little notes in there saying this stand would be perfect, or thermals pull east west on sunny days versus cloudy days. They do this. Deer tend to come from here. They hug the ridge. They walk out into open timber. They do something different. Long story short, document that, right? Challenge yourself to understand what the thermals are doing, understand how deer move, how that affects deer movement. So there's that thermal observation, big one, and how that translates into stand locations. Okay. All right, guys, you know me, and I love eating wild game, but I don't eat wild game every single night. Every once in a while, I'll reach for a side of beef, and that's why I trust Omaha Steaks. Because Omaha Steaks are sent directly to my door, I can keep my freezer stocked without having to go to the grocery store. It's honestly like having a trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at your house. Last week, I pulled out their pure ground ribeye burgers for a quick grill session. The flavor and marbling was unreal, rich, juicy, and miles ahead of any average grocery store meat. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. I've been trying underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com. The next thing I want to challenge you to do, this might be tough for people who hunt smaller acreages, 20 acres, 50 acres, or maybe a big old field with just a smidgen of timber. I'm going to challenge you guys to set up a completely random tree stand location or blind location on a piece of property that you have never hunted before or that you think is a dead area. A lot of times, and this has happened to me in the past, I look at something and I say, I am a deer. I would never go there, but I'm not a deer. And I don't think, I don't smell, I don't see, I don't have the same senses or behaviors. I'm not a slave to my stomach or need drinking water like they do. I don't sleep outside. You know what I'm getting at here. And so in order to really truly know how good a transition area is or a pinch point is to know that other parts of the property or verify it are not as good. Okay. I believe one of the terms people use in the past is deer desert. Is it a deer desert? And sometimes you may think it's a deer desert. It's not. I went shed hunting once. And no, it wasn't shed hunting. I went scouting. I got access to a farm one year and I went scouting. And I was scouting at, I believe it was late September. And I had one extra trail camera in my backpack. And this was before cell cams or before I started using cell cams really heavy. I ended up popping a trail camera on a dead tree facing a gap in the timber. And I was just like, well, let's see. Let's just see what's happening here. And long story short, there was no sign. There was no scrapes. There was no rubs. I couldn't find any beds. It didn't seem like a quote unquote deery spot. But wouldn't you know, it was the most pictures of mature whitetails came through that spot in a 2-week period in late October and the first week of November than I've ever had on any other trail camera ever, period. And so then it became my job to understand why I was hunting that location or why I needed to be hunting that location, how the deer came in and out of there. Was it a, why did the deer use this? What were the thermals doing? Right. And that led me to getting a stand in there and hunting it. Now, I didn't kill any of those big bucks because I killed a different deer that year on a different property. But what I'm getting at is I learned more about the farm. Let's flip the script there. I've done that same thing, basically mobile throughout the early season or learning how a doe group moves. And I've found spots that deer just do not go for one reason or another. Maybe it's the terrain dictates that. Maybe the thermals dictate that. Maybe there's pressure from an active farm or a road or, I don't know. I'm trying to think of farming practices, things like that. Deer just don't go there. The only way that I found that out is you sprinkle in a little bit of trail camera and hunting time in there. And so there's some places that I've gone where the deer just are not. And so that also taught me something about the properties that I hunt. And you might be able to get away with this on a smaller 20, 30 acre piece of property, and go somewhere where you don't. Because as much as we say things like, deer are stupid. You know, like we should be able to outsmart them. They do respond to pressure by adjusting their deer movement, whether that's big pressure, like me whistling in the woods, my fat ass steps on a stick and breaks it and it spooks the deer, or just a slower type of adjustment where that would be like years of putting one tree stand up and going back and forth to that. And every year it just seems like the deer get further away and further away and further away. So try something different. Know more about your property and know where the deer are, know where the deer are not. And this can happen, especially in the rut. You lose a deer for 3 days, 4 days, and you're like, dude, where did he go? He was constant. He was constant. Now he disappeared. He's with a hot doe, potentially somewhere on a different property, or he's just 100 yards in a different direction that you have no idea because you've never hunted that, or you've never tried to hunt it, or you've never experimented enough on your properties to put a tree stand in some of these spots or a ground blind in some of these spots. So I challenge you to some random weekend. Maybe the conditions aren't necessarily the greatest. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you got an extra day and you want to get out and hunt when the conditions just aren't right. Go try a random spot and just observe. Or maybe you do have the best conditions and you go mobile and you get in there. And maybe it's time to take that ladder stand down and adjust it 20 yards and see if there's a different pattern that they notice or that you notice as well. So try something different, set up a random stand location, and learn more about your property, right? Really what this is all about is learning more about the property, whether you've hunted it for 1 year or 25 years. You got to do something to spark, get a little spark back in you and start learning again. Or the third option is, hey, Dan, why don't you shut up? That one would work too. So, okay. Now, set up a random stand location is almost like there's 1A and 1 or 2A and 2B. And the next one was do something you normally would not do this upcoming season. What does that mean? That could mean whatever you want it to mean. Do something you normally wouldn't do. Go hunt on a hot day. Go hunt on a wet day. Take an afternoon off of work and go hunt on a Wednesday or a Tuesday if you're a weekend warrior. This could mean something like shoot more does, shoot less does, chase one buck this season, shoot the first deer that walks by your tree stand. Maybe take an entire season to dedicate it to yourself. Maybe hunt with a whole bunch of buddies all year round in a group, share spots, hunt public, knock on doors to gain access to private, use a canoe for water access, you know, walk, you know, adjust your access routes. A whole bunch of different things that you would not normally do. Go extremely mobile, maybe only hunt out of a saddle for 1 year. Maybe before the season starts, go set up a couple permanent stands, pick up a couple tree stands that are on sale at a Farm King or at a Tyson's or, you know, a farm store, and set up a permanent stand so that you know it's there. And I think maybe even your gear, right? Change your arrows, maybe. Keep your arrows. Maybe you're the guy who likes to change your gear out every year. Don't change your gear out this year. And the reason I'm saying this is to find a version of yourself that you're happy with and that you're consistent with. Maybe you thought that you liked a certain way of hunting, but then you changed it up and then you realize, dude, I like this other version of myself more. I like this other version of hunting more. Dude, I got a piece of property that is killer. on the weekdays, or I got a piece of property that is awesome on hot days because it has the water, or I'm going to maybe try to hunt late season this year because the farmer always waits until December to combine his beans or corn or something like that. And you don't know those things unless you spend more time out in the woods or maybe change some things up a little bit this year and make adjustments to what you're currently doing and find something, find a version of yourself that you didn't know you had. And one of those, and here's an example. I keep talking myself into trying a trad bow. And I think here in the next couple of years, I'm really going to step outside of the box and I'm going to try to shoot a deer with a trad bow. And so, I don't know. We'll see if it happens. That's going to put me in a very uncomfortable situation because I have been the type of guy who like over the last couple of years from gear, from strategy, I've been kind of in the same, doing the same thing for about 10 years now. And I think it's time to throw myself a curveball, maybe go on an out of state hunt with no scouting or no planning, just go. Right. Or maybe you're already doing that and you do the opposite. This year I'm really going to study terrain features and topo maps and access routes and all that stuff on maps so that when I do go out of state, I got it nailed. I got it all nailed down. Again, and we're doing this to see if we truly like or don't like the way that we're hunting. For me, I've always felt like there's more hunting out there. I currently put myself into going and hunting a buck or two. Now I have my kids involved, which I'll be making that a priority again this year. But for me, one of the goals that I've always said I want to accomplish but never do because I always think a big buck's going to step out is does. I want to hunt more does. And that means that I'm going to try to fill more of my freezer this year and just make sure that, I don't know, there's meat in the fridge and there's meat in the freezer and we're going to eat more deer meat. And the only way that I do that is by killing more does. And I think it's fun. Right. I think a lot of guys, as we get into these ruts where we start focusing on antlers and age class and bucks only, we forget that there's other hunting out there that can be done. And the whole, some of the point is of this whole thing is the experience, right? And so I want to experience as much time in the tree stand as humanly possible. And one way to do that is to go fill more tags. And that could be, I've never taken advantage of a muzzleloader season. I've done some late season archery hunting, but I've never, you know, like I don't hunt shotgun season anymore. Maybe there's an opportunity for me somewhere in there as well. So just a couple things to think about as we wind down the summer. Man, I've already started seeing commercials for like Walmart and Target for back to school shopping. And it's just depressing to see that shit already. And so that means that the deer are in probably very close right now to their peak antler growth. And, I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening, with that aspect of it. And, man, just to get out with my boys and get out there and do some very fun and exciting things with him and for myself. And experience the rut one more time because you honestly do not know when the last time you will be able to crawl into a tree stand is or step out of your truck and walk to a ground blind or whatever. You don't know when your last hunting season is. And when you start to think about that, put it that way, it gets kind of scary, right? I want to experience as many hunting seasons as I possibly can. And so I'm looking forward to that. All right. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day to listen to me rant for these 30, 40 minutes. I really do appreciate you and the journey that this podcast, following along on the journey this podcast has done. Do me a big favor. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you download. Leave a comment about this episode of maybe what you plan on doing differently this upcoming season, taking a chance, rolling the dice, challenging yourself. Maybe you need to challenge a buddy who's in a rut, right? He hasn't got a buck in a couple years, or he's quit hunting because his job's too hectic. Maybe you walk up to your buddy, you kick him right in the nuts and you say, "Buddy, it's kill mode again, dog. We're going out this season and you're coming with me." And maybe that's just what that guy needs, is that little push or that kick in the nuts. So, all right. Good vibes, everybody. Leave a review, comment, follow me on Instagram, blah, 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 blah. Good vibes in, good vibes out, and we'll talk to you next time.